praise God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He has run the race before us. Of course, our perfect example, the author and finisher of our faith. And so title of tonight's message, Jesus Didn't Quit. Jesus didn't quit. And of course, sometimes it's easy for me to like, well, of course He's the Lord. Of course He's not going to quit. Of course He doesn't sin. Of course He doesn't. When we think of what Jesus went through in His ministry, was Jesus ever disappointed? Even though He didn't quit, was He ever disappointed? Well, yeah. Was Jesus ever grieved? All the time. The Bible identifies Him as a man of sorrows. And was Jesus heartbroken? Absolutely. Of course, He never quit. But let's go to John chapter 6. We'll start here. Our main verse for tonight, John chapter 6. We'll see the testimony of Jesus Christ through His earthly ministry and how by God's grace, of course, through the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, He never quit. But understand, of course, that it's a reminder to us that certainly life is full of heartache and disappointments. Life will have disappointments, not just may. Life will have disappointments, but God is faithful through it all. And so let's go to John chapter 6. And so for us not to be caught unawares, you know, what's this strange fiery trial? And don't be caught off guard when Satan attacks. Of course, we know that we know better. And so John chapter 6, verse 66, again, probably one of the most heartbreaking verses in the Bible, John 6, and then verse 66. Easy to remember for me, it's just 666. But look at what the Word of God says. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Certainly just a heartbreak of Jesus Christ. I'll get into the context in a little bit here, but He had just finished sharing just a blessed doctrine of salvation through Himself, that He is the eternal bread of life, that please, you know, these folks have been following Him kind of, you know, on the fence, kind of wishy-washy, and Jesus really confronts them about their need for Him, and He says, you need to choose Me, and when He, not to say forced the issue, okay, but when He really rebuked their lukewarmness up until this point, when He forced them to make a decision, they chose to reject Him. I mean, just such a heartbreak of a verse, and certainly there was no, Jesus, no stranger to heartbreak, to disappointment, to tough times. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on tonight's service and the message. Amen. Abba, Father, what a blessing, Lord, again to be here. We thank You, Father, for the great salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for His faithfulness, Father. And Lord, what a comfort to know that He is faithful, that He has run His race, that He did not get weary in well-doing, Father. I understand from the Scriptures, we know that He is flesh and blood as we are. He was the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Adam. Lord, that He was certainly made in as men are, Lord, as flesh and blood. And but Father, what a testimony to His faithfulness, to His just His relation, His communion with You, Father, that He ran the perfect race. What a Savior we have, Lord, and what an encouragement. Father, may we trust in You, Father, as the Lord Jesus Christ, in His obedience to You, Lord, that He, I think even of the Apostle Paul, Lord, and even the chief of sinners, Lord, as he calls himself. Yet, Father, help us to be found faithful. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to have close relationship with You, Father, so that when disappointments do come, we know that they will come, but that when they do come, Father, it would not discourage us. Yes, we will have heartbreak. Yes, we will grieve. But, Father, we won't quit by Your mercy and grace. And bless now the time, the preaching of Thy holy word. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, number one, life will have disappointments. And I don't even like saying that, okay? But that's what the Scripture shows us. That's what the Scripture teaches. Not just may have disappointments, okay? But it will have disappointments. Certainly, the quick takeaway, my friends, we can walk the perfect Christian life as Jesus evidently did. Amen? He did not sin. And so Jesus is a perfect example. I mean, we can live the perfect Christian life, no fault of our own, no sin, and always, you know, always doing what God wants us to do. That was what Jesus Christ did. And so we can live the perfect Christian life. We can conduct the perfect ministry. And even then, disappointments can and will come. We can do everything right, quote unquote, just like Jesus did, of course, and there will still be heartbreak. Things might not go our way. People might turn and reject us. Overwhelming stress and disappointment may just come wave after wave. And, you know, just to share a little context here, this is towards the end of chapter 6. At the start of chapter 6, boy, what a 180. At the start of chapter 6, after Jesus conducts a miracle, feeds the multitude, they were ready to make him king. Say, hey, we want this guy. This guy's going to be it. You know, out with Caesar, in with the new. You know, and they were ready to crown him king right then. Of course, it wasn't his time yet, so that didn't happen. But they were so pro-Jesus at the start of chapter 6. And then at the end of chapter 6, they're like, well, I'm done. Forget this, you know. And Jesus had just shared again the truth that he is the Savior. He is that eternal bread from heaven, the bread of life. Just revealed to them the greatest gift himself that can save them. And this crowd, again, they had been following Jesus for some time. They were wanting handouts, okay? But they were not wanting to make a decision on him. They were just kind of there just for the physical food that Jesus was providing. In fact, if you go to verse 26 real quick, just to get some context here, verse 26 of the same chapter, Jesus is actually rebuking them. He says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, which we are to seek Jesus, right? And so he is saying, you are seeking me, but for the wrong reasons. Not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And so they were coming to Jesus, but for the wrong reasons, just to meet their needs of their belly, okay? And certainly I can relate to that, okay? I mean, but they want, to them, it didn't matter that Jesus performed miracles to feed them, just that they got fed. That's all that mattered. They were not seeing beyond their flesh, not seeing beyond their hunger pangs, okay? And then Jesus, throughout his preaching, he confronts them about their need to choose him. Really, really choose him. And so he preaches, you know, hard truth, you know, and now Jesus could have not pressed them. He could have not forced the issue. He could have just continued giving them handouts, and the crowd would just, they kind of just follow along. Life is going good. You keep giving handouts, you keep following you. In fact, the crowd might have even gone bigger, right? But that's not how Jesus is. He's not lukewarm, of course. He's going to tell them of he has compassion to meet their physical needs. But of course, he loves them, and he desires. That's the reason why he came, is to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And so he confronts them about their lack of decision. You know, just kind of following along, taking what Jesus gave them, but not making a decision about Jesus himself. And when he confronts them about the need for him, he preaches hard truths to them. They said, oh, this is, can't do this, not going to do this. And so they leave. I mean, that is so heartbreaking. If you go back to verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples, they were with him up until this point. The crowd in general went back and walked no more with him. They rejected him. In fact, if you go down to verse 71, Jesus was, of course, we know, betrayed by Judas, but he knew that was going to happen. That was part of God's will, God's plan. Yet Jesus accepted and loved him. Look at verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Life is full of disappointments, full of hardships, full of things not going our way. Yet Jesus never quit. Praise the Lord. I think of myself, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and, you know, and maybe always minister out of love. But when you love, that's when you can hurt. And I'm so thankful for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and may we glean some, you know, how do you do it, you know? And in fact, if you go to verse 1 of chapter 7, just next chapter over, verse 1 of chapter 7, Jesus was a wanted man. And so things, when it rains, it pours. Look at verse 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. I mean, they wanted him dead. He was a wanted man, and so they despised him. They wanted to kill him. If you look down at verse 5, even for neither did his brethren believe in him. There's kind of a snowball. I mean, you have verse 66 of chapter 6, a huge exodus of people following Jesus, okay? And you can liken it to not say a church split, but you can liken it to even a service where, hey, there's hundreds of people. Next time, there's only 12. What happened? Where'd everyone go? You know, and that's heartbreaking. And then, of course, even within his own circle, Judas is going to betray him. Even back on the home front, his family, his brethren don't believe in him. If you go down to verse 12, what's the talk of the town? Look at verse 12, chapter 7. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Well, praise God for that. But others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Jesus Christ, who is truth, he is truth epitomized. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And they're not just saying that he's not. They're calling him a deceiver. I mean, that's Satan. I mean, this is, they couldn't be more wrong. I mean, this from one end to the complete opposite. I mean, that was the just the heartbreak that was faced by our Lord and Savior. In fact, if you look at verse 15, chapter 7 as well, verse 15, look at this. And the Jews marvel. This is when Jesus is teaching and preaching. And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having not learned? Yes, he was considered a blue-collar carpenter. But of course, the idea that Jesus Christ, the living Savior, the living Word, was not a learned man in the truth and the doctrine of the Scriptures, of the Old Testament. How wrong can you be? Okay, but this was the mindset. This was the brand that Jesus had, the disappointment that came along with that. It's a blessing to minister, but it's a heartache and it's a heartbreak when things don't go our way, right? And we might all have the best of intentions. We know that the Lord, he loved people. He loved people, even Judas. He loved them to the very end. And I think of myself. You know, it's easy. How easy it is for our bubble to get burst. You know, and you know we want to go, and all it takes is one disappointment, and then that derails me. Hopefully, that's not the case with us. Okay, but I'm just so thankful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the majority of his disciples, those that were following him, left in verse 66, you know, and then Simon, well, he's speaking of Judas, the son of Simon, when he betrays him, he knows that's coming. His own family turns their back to him. They've never believed in him, not yet, anyway, up until this point. When you have the word on the street and just everyone is against him, he's a wanted man. Have you seen Jesus? We want to kill him, you know, and the idea of how much rejection he faced. I'm so thankful that he is ever faithful. May we be found faithful in like fashion. But again, to be reminded, life is, life will have disappointments. In fact, life can be full of them. It can be full of them, you know, and things just, and yes, we reap what we sow. And by the way, that just adds to it, right? Because you can have a flawless walk. Amen. And not sin, not giving it to him, be the perfect Christian, and then life can still be full of disappointments. And then you add my own foolishness when I do reap what I sow. That's just even, I mean, that's, wow. Were it not by grace, for God's mercy. What a blessing that we have, our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He's so faithful to us. So number one, life will have disappointments. Praise God for his mercy. But point number two, life will also have blessings. Life will also have blessings, but I need to count my blessings. It's so important. Otherwise, we'll let the disappointment, which is guaranteed to be there, the disappointments can and will overshadow our blessings if I don't count my blessings. In fact, if you go to verse 67 of chapter 6, verse 67, right after, you know, the majority left, okay, so the crowd greatly dwindled, okay? That's tough. That's heartbreaking. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are you going to, you know, do what the crowd does? And praise God for Simon Peter. I know he denies him later on, okay? So, by the way, heartache again, you know, and so, you know, heartache central. I mean, here, of course, but at least praise the Lord. Here he's saying the right things. Amen. And Peter means well. You know, he means well. And that's precious. But again, all the more heartache because Jesus knows he's going to deny him thrice later. But here Peter says, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Boy, just imagine, if I was preaching and everyone just left, you know, and there's just a little crowd left, like, well, you guys want to go to, might as well just walk out. I'm kind of a failure of a minister, you know. And then says, hey, no, you're a man of God. Like, hey, what a blessing. Praise the Lord. I go to Rafi, just a keeper. Again, yes, life will have disappointments. That's point number one. But point number two, life will also have blessings. But count our blessings. In this case, he counted 12. Even though there was Judas that's in the mix there, right? And so, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. Wow, that's wonderful. The majority rejected Jesus. The majority said, hey, this is tough preaching. We're not going to do that. And they rejected Jesus. And they said, yeah, we like the free stuff. But now that you're forcing us that's the cost. Now, salvation is free, okay? Jesus paid it all, okay? But the cost of discipleship and to follow Jesus, the persecution that would follow, that was too much for them. They were not going to do that. And so they bowed out. They rejected him, walked away. But here, Peter and company, at least Peter, leading the charge, sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's you. You are the Savior. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Of course, he knows that there's still Judas. Again, disappointment all the way around. But praise God for blessings. Praise God for the Peters in our life. Now, they might not be perfect. Guess what? They're a sinner like we are. They might, you know, break our heart at some point. But praise God that Peter's, that he's right there. He's stuck with the Lord. And in fact, if you fast forward, yep, after he got converted, got right with God, strengthening the brethren, and you look at Peter in Pentecost, 3,000 got saved. Amen. And here you have those that were, they kind of stuck it out with Jesus. But then when you fast forward to after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, besides John the disciple, John the beloved, the rest of them gave their lives in martyrdom to the Lord. They lived and died for the Lord. I mean, that's commendable. That's praise God for that. Recognize our blessing. Thank God for our blessings. Because if we don't, we're in big trouble. Because life is full of disappointments. If we don't count our blessings and thank God for it, we would have quit. I would have quit long ago. You know, and that this, whenever you do something right, when I do it wrong, of course, you reap what you sow. But then even when you do it right, things don't turn out the way you desire them to do. Jesus didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged, even though he did grieve, okay? But he didn't quit. Some of us mean well, but we get discouraged or upset way too easily. Let's look at John 7, verse 14. Notice how the Lord does this, even in spite of all this, being a wanted man. Look at verse 14 of chapter 7, now about the midst of the feast. And so at the height of the feast, when everyone's there, Jesus went up into the midst of the temple and taught. I mean, he's a wanted man. He's a wanted man, but he's doing what God wants him to do. He's standing there, he's preaching, he's teaching, and he's right in the spotlight. He doesn't shy away. Jesus still revealed himself, even though he was, you know, people were after him. How did Jesus not quit? Look at verse 6. Notice how Jesus says in verse 6, even though Jesus might have been, now he had his disciples, okay, but even though he might have been abandoned by everyone, he always had his Father. And that's the takeaway for you and I. Draw near to the Father. Because, my friends, no matter how bad life's disappointments will be, not maybe, will be, and no matter how alone we might be, okay, praise God for our blessings, but even at the lowest point, God the Father is always there, okay? And so look at verse 16, and Jesus says, as part of his preaching, look at what he says in verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Jesus always did the will of his Father. That's a precious, precious thing. And no matter where we are, as Jesus was sent, so sends he us, right? And so we are sent too. In fact, here's verse 17, kind of goes hand in hand with that. If any man will do his will. Now, I might preach verse 17 in my whole life, but as much as I preach it, it also applies to me, right? And so if any man will do his will, doing first, obeying first, present your body a living sacrifice first, do Romans 12, verse 1 first, before verse 2, he shall know of the doctrine. Know what it means, you know it, you affirm it, you are fully persuaded in it, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. I mean, again, the idea here that Jesus was rejected, they weren't sure if he's the true Messiah. Okay, the idea is when we obey the word of God first, obey first, then we are affirmed that it is the word and the will of God. We present our body a living sacrifice first. Then that transforms our mind. It renews our mind. And then we will know and understand the perfect will of God. But you have to obey first. And too often I'm like the John 6:66 crowd where, well, I don't know, you know, show me the money first, you know, and convince me first, then I'll obey. That's backwards, right? I'll be like, well, I want to know God's will. Once I know God's will, then I'll obey. No, God says, obey first. When you obey, then you will know. Then, oh yes, this is the will of God. It's a wonderful thing. And God says, pray, read your Bible. That's communing, as a songwriter said, with our Heavenly Father. That's a wonderful thing to be in sweet fellowship with Him. Obey first, then we will know. What a challenge. How to draw nigh to God. Jesus was always close to His Father. One thing, of course, it goes without saying. Got to say it anyway. In the ministry of Jesus, He always prayed. Hence tonight's service. But pray. Life is full of disappointments. But Jesus always prayed and communed with His Father. Let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, of course, drawing nigh to God. I'll be remiss if I don't read this verse. But let's go to James chapter 4. Hebrews, James chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ, He didn't quit. Because He was always close with His Father. Amen. James chapter 4. Let's go to verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Don't miss the sequence there. God gives the invitation. Absolutely. He convicts with His Holy Spirit. Absolutely. But I got to yield and surrender first. Draw nigh to Him. Then He will draw nigh to me. Oftentimes I'm like, Lord, God, you want me to pray, God? Come close to me. No, I pray first. Okay, then I get close to Him. Then He gets close to me. Amen. And in fact, what's the context of verse 8? Because it says, draw nigh to God. Well, how do I draw nigh to God? It's not by building my Tower of Babel. Okay, that's not what it's talking about. The context is verse 3. It's prayer. It's speaking about prayer. Verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Okay, so it's speaking about prayer. And again, prayer is not just asking in our lust. Prayer is praising, because the whole context of verse 3, that ye may consume it upon your lust, is kind of a play on words, that you consume, you burn up the offering upon the altar of God, as opposed to doing what they are supposed to be doing, put the sacrifice upon the altar. They are burning, it's upon their own lust. So it's not upon the altar of God, it's upon their own lust that is being consumed. Okay, so it's absolutely prayer, but prayer for praising God. But the context is prayer. And so the way to do it right, starting in verse 8, well, draw nigh to God. In fact, starting in verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. When we come to God in prayer and praise and submitting to His will, what a joy that we can do that and fall on our knees and, Father, Your will be done. Even though God's desire is for me to minister, when you minister, my friends, when you reach out to people, there will be the few that receive you. Some that say, yeah, He's a good man. But the vast majority might say, yeah, He's a deceiver. Because show me someone that hasn't been hurt, and I'll show you someone who hasn't ministered. That's how it is. Never minister, never get hurt. But that's not God's desire. God says, go, minister. You will get hurt, but I am with you. I'm with you. So submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. After we submit to God, and He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God in prayer, and He will draw nigh to you. That's a promise. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And again, prayer needs to go hand in hand with repentance, confession, and to truly turn from our sin. That's how we don't pray in lust. We pray in the Holy Spirit. When sin grieves us, verse 9, that's kind of the fruit of repentance. Sin grieves us, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Not saying don't laugh, okay? God gives blessings. Praise God for it, okay? But what I'm saying is laughing in my own sin, in my own flesh, my own pride, my own lust, okay? Living in the flesh. Let your laughter be turned to mourning because of my sin. I realize how wicked my sin is. I am, and God, I need you. And your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Context is in prayer. And He, this is wonderful, shall lift you up. Even though life is so full of disappointments. I mean, I can't even imagine how Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He gave people, take. And then when He finally like, all right, guys, this is all fine and all, okay, but you guys are sinners, you got to be saved, I am the bread of life. And then when the rubber meets the road, when He gives them the real purpose, why He's there, they're like, ooh, no, that's okay, we don't want it. And they just kind of take off. They don't follow Him no more. That's heartbreaking. That's disappointing. They walked away from eternal life right there. So sad. The rich young ruler, yep, you know, he says, follow me. He gave him the same invitation as he did to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Follow me, as to Matthew or Levi. And he said, oh, can't do it. I got too much stuff. And he walked away from the Lord. I mean, that's so heartbreaking. But whenever the Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed and communed with his Heavenly Father, of course, he didn't sin, okay? But the idea is he prayed to the Father. He humbled himself. God lifted him up. And that's what I need. Because if we go through life hoping to dodge the bullets, you know, I'm gonna tiptoe here, avoid disappointment here, this guy's going to say no for sure, so I won't witness to him, you know. And whatever the case is to avoid heartache, that's not the way to do it. God lifts us up when we pray in the Spirit. What a joy. And of course, looking forward to do that tonight. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to come to you on bended knee, Father. We are so thankful that you are so faithful, Father. You, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace, your mercy, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is with us even to the end of the world. And Lord, what a comfort to know that even though life is full of heartache and disappointment, even when we do everything right, what more, even when I mess up, that just adds to it. Wow. That Father, you are there, and you're so faithful. We confess we are needy people. We are sinful people, Father. May our sin grieve us, break our heart. May we humble ourselves so that you, Father, lift us up. We want to be lifted up by you, Father. I don't want to be lifted up by myself or the world or by, quote unquote, avoiding disappointment. Father, help me to do thy will first, to obey you first, that we may know it is your will. Help us to obey your word so that we can be fully persuaded that it's your will in our lives. And bless, Father, the time now of a prayer. And we're a blessed people, Father. We give you all the praise. And help us to count our blessings. Help us to count our blessings, Lord. We do have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then even the brethren, Lord. And yes, people have hurt us. But people have also blessed us. And we're so thankful for those that have blessed us, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful for the body of Christ. And Father, we give you all the praise. Father, may you be glorified this rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. A couple of